That spooky music you hear is Blood Red Roses by C21 FX. It's part of the soundtrack for The Incantation, an indie horror movie starring neophyte Sam Valentine and veteran actor Dean Cain, who's probably best remembered for playing Superman opposite Terry Hatcher as Lois Lane in the 90s TV series Lois and Clark. Filmed entirely on location in France, this paranormal thriller is the first original content film by Blue Falcon Productions. Produced by Dan Campbell, it was written and directed by Jude S. Walko. And that's where I come in, and how I got an extremely minor walk-on part in this film. I've known Jude since I was 12 years old. We grew up in the same area of North Georgia, and went to school together for a few years, and even to the same university for a while. So with the release of The Incantation, Jude's directorial debut, I thought it would be fun to catch up with my old friend to do an interview for the podcast about his movie, about his work in show business, and more. So let's see if I can get him on the line. Jude.
Hey, Chris, how's it going?
Good. How are you, man?
Excellent.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, thank you for having me in France and a very small part of The Incantation, and for just getting to watch you do what you do.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. It was great to hang out in a professional and fun environment as well.
Very, very cool. Very cool. All right, man. So I want to start from the beginning and then quickly go through to now. So for me, the beginning is I've known you since, I was 7th grade?
Yeah.
I think, I think we were the two bored morons in the class. Morons because we were just bored out of our mind, really, not because we were dumb, I think. And just here you are. I'm talking to you today. You're in Bangkok now, right?
Indeed, I'm in Bangkok. It's 3 p.m. over here in the other city of angels.
Okay. Yeah, so we're both from North Georgia, but you now split your time between Bangkok and Los Angeles, yeah?
Yeah, predominantly Los Angeles and Bangkok, yep.
Okay. So my last memory before social media and finding out about you living in Bangkok and L.A. and all that was we were both going to the University of Georgia for a little while and meeting up and hanging out a little bit.
Yeah.
You had a car, a really hot car, I think, and you had a plan to go to California.
That's correct.
This was, I guess, early, mid-90s, right?
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Yep.
And you did.
Yep.
And then Whistle Stop Tour, what happened then?
So Whistle Stop Tour is, I went out to California, got caught up in the 1994 Northridge earthquake, which literally and figuratively shook me up, finished my degree in Georgia, and then moved back out to LA and started in the film business. Eventually, after putting in 20 years in the film business, in about 1999, I went to Bangkok to visit, and I just fell in love with the place and kept coming back. So as my career was projecting from a production assistant to eventually executive producer, I ended up moving to Bangkok full time and have a wife and kids and all that good stuff, and I remain in the industry to this day.
Very, very cool. Okay. Wow. Okay. So and then that leads us to your first directorial debut. At least that would be your first if it's a debut. And also your own publishing, I mean your own,
production company.
Your own production company, yeah. So tell me a bit about that. So Blue Falcon Productions, let's start there.
Okay, so Blue Falcon, you know, I had done a couple films up in Michigan in a little town called Grand Rapids, and I did one called House of the Rising Sun with Dave Bautista. He's the big guy from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
I hired a guy there to do craft service, which in the industry is just get the food and stuff. That ended up being my producing partner, Dan Campbell. So we got a friendship. You met Dan when you were down.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy.
Yeah, he's great. Former Marine. But anyways, we started, you know, we were like-minded people, and we wanted the same goals in the industry. So we eventually started a company, Blue Falcon Productions, in 2012. And the thing is, in our business, you know, it's so competitive and everything that people don't really, it's a catch 22 because they're not going to give you a job without experience, but you can't get experience unless you have the job kind of thing. So, you know, I had had 2 decades of experience behind the camera and in front of the camera as well, but I not as a director officially. I had done ghost directing and second unit directing and all that. So we started the company, and our main thing was we got to do some original content while still providing production services for other people. We got to put something of ours out there, and that's how this seed got stuck in our brain about doing something original.
Okay. And that original concept was the incantation.
Yeah, absolutely. And that came about because, you know, I was shooting a movie called Siren in Savannah, Georgia, and that was produced with alongside myself, David Bruckner, who did The Ritual, that's now on Netflix. And we were shooting down there, and we needed a location, and I talked to this woman named Julie Sullivan. Her son was an intern, and long story short, I was in her house that we were shooting at, and she had pictures of a castle up everywhere in her house. And I said, whose castle is that? And she said, well, that's our castle, and we have a couple of castles. So the short of that is that they are of Irish lineage, royalty. They're her husband's accountant, therefore she's a countess of the Sullivan clan, of the not graphing count. And I said, can I shoot in your castle? And she said, sure, you can shoot in our castle in France. Mind you, this was in Georgia. And that's how that started. That sort of was the carrot was dangled in front of us. And we said, when are you going to have another chance to shoot in a castle in France? So I started writing the script based on that.
Okay. All right. Okay. So that was the initial point where you just sort of took off from.
Yeah, exactly. And oddly enough, that was also in Georgia. Because Georgia has a great film incentive, as you may or may not know.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if you're aware, but it's a great place to film. So it all came back to Georgia, which is odd enough because the company's from Michigan. I'm in L.A. and Bangkok, but it all sprouted back from Georgia. And then,
hey, there you go.
Yeah.
So what is the incantation about?
It's so a horror movie. It's a fish out of water story. It's kind of based on the old classic Hammer films where they had a predominant location, usually because they had a castle called Hammer Castle. And in those old movies, Christopher Lee would play like this lord or some sort of, you know, patriarch of the castle, and there would be the damsel in distress and the young hero that got, you know, he wrecked his car, or, you know, he was sent here on some errand, fool's errand kind of thing. And that's how these movies sort of wrapped around. So I had this great location. I knew I had this because they had sent me a database of about 1,000 pictures of the castle. Wow. I had never seen it sight unseen physically, and I had only been to Paris, but I had not been to the south of France or central France where this actually was. So I was kind of unaware of what I was getting into. But basically, that's the basis. Now, The Fish Out of Water is... our story's about a young girl named Lucy Bella Rose, who's played by Sam Ballantyne. Okay. Her great uncle dies, who's the lord of the castle, sort of. So she gets an invitation to come over for her for his funeral. She goes through that. She meets some interesting characters along the way, and as she does, she starts to uncover certain things about her family's past. You know, nefarious things and basic some witchcraft folklore. That part of it's actually historical in that area. I kind of weave that in with the fiction as well, the Valais witch trials and all that, and then it sort of goes into some occultism. It's kind of a horror film, but it's not like a Friday the 13th slasher film. It's more of a throwback, slow burn, big payoff, you know, interesting, intelligent script. I'd like to think so, you know, where it engages the audience and makes them think a little. And there's all these little clues, both in literature, religion, all kinds of stuff to kind of keep them interested, not just in the actual thing that's going on screen as well.
Okay. So that was your first time directing. Was that your first time writing as well?
Officially, yes. I have written 7 scripts, but none of them are produced because, as you know, Chris, I'm a producer, so that's my bread and butter. So a lot of time, that's what I'm doing for everyone else. I'm making their dreams come true. I'm producing their scripts. So, yes, officially, this one was the first film that I had written and that I technically was the first-time director, although I also had to do that on other sets prior, but not officially. So this is a first for us on many levels.
Okay. Oh, well, congratulations. Okay. And so you mentioned Sam Valentine. I got to meet her and watch her in action. She's great. But also the other star of this film is Dean Cain, yeah?
Yeah, Dean Cain, Superman.
Superman from Lois and Clark, yeah. Yeah, so did you have a relationship with him? How did he get involved?
I did. I had a professional relationship with him about 10 years prior. I had worked on a movie called Circle of Pain with Lionsgate that we shot in Austin, Texas. And the story goes, Dean needed to get out early because he had another job in Bulgaria. And I pulled some strings. I was producing it, and I convinced the crew to do some overtime. They were all good. So I sort of did a small favor for Dean. Cut to 10 years later, and as I'm writing the script, I keep picturing Dean in this role, you know. I can't get him out of his mind, but I'm like, man, he's way out of my league. I can't afford him, and he's busy. But Court Johns is an associate producer on the film that I had worked with a couple times. I had just worked with him twice before, and I said, hey, Court, just give me Dean's contact. I'm going to reach out. And I happen to have a picture of Dean and myself from that movie. I sent that to Dean, and I said, hey, man, remember me? I got you out early on that show 10 years ago. And he said, of course I remember you, man, of course. So he made it work, but it was a shot in the dark, you know. Like, I wasn't counting on it happening, and I'm very grateful that it did, because, as you know, when you have a face on your project, it gives it legs that you wouldn't have otherwise.
Sure, yeah. And, you know, as people know him, as you mentioned, he's Superman. He's famous for the 90s show, Lois and Clark. But he's not quite so goody two-shoes and squeaky clean in this film, is he?
Which is great. He's not. He is not at all. He plays sort of part of this unholy trinity, I like to call it. If you watch the trailer's out on Facebook and YouTube, so you guys can see that. But you basically see a darker side of Dean come out, and it's interesting because, as you said, he's always playing like the pretty boy or the hero or the police officer or the Santa Claus in a Hallmark movie. He's never playing that opposite side, but of course he'd love that. Actors love to flex their muscle, especially when, you know, get to typecast a lot. So he enjoyed it, and he was a trooper.
That's great. And you mentioned this unholy trinity. People also get to see your dark side. You play a fairly important role in the film yourself, right?
I do. I play the Vicar of Borley, who the Vicar is the kind of guy who's the caretaker of the castle, and he's the strident overlord that sets down all the rules for Lucy and makes her feel uncomfortable, and he's very creepy, and he's all dressed in black. People always say he looks like Rasputin.
Yes.
So that was a big challenge, of course, because not only did I write and direct it, but I also had to act in it, so, you know, it's juggling a lot of things all at once, but we pulled it off. You were there.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. You have a bit of a background in acting, don't you?
I sure do. I went at University of Georgia. I got my degree in drama, and at that time, you know, I started to dabble in acting. I got small bit pieces, and I did a lot of extra work, because believe it or not, you learn a lot on a movie set if you're just an extra in the background, kind of seeing how it all works. So I did that when I was young, and eventually when I got into producing, I was in a position where I could put myself in the film if the role, you know, suited me. And oftentimes it did, because, you know, I usually have long hair and I have a unique look, and so I could either play the creepy guy, or I could play like the stoner guy, or the surfer guy, or the rock guy, or any long haired kind of guy. So I did. I did about 40 acting roles prior.
Okay.
And I just now joined SAG after 25 years. I had not joined, but the opportunity arose, and I said, why not? So I did, finally. Hey. So I'm a Screen Actors Guild actor, finally.
Very cool. Very, very cool. And if anything, whatever folks think about the genre of your film or whatever, it is a great opportunity to see your mega beard. I mean, that's got some footage on it, right? I mean, that thing's pretty long. How long did you don't have it? Well, it looks like I can see you. Obviously, there's a podcast, but you've got a little bit growing now.
Amish look going now.
But you had a beard down past your belly, as I remember it, man. How long was that thing?
Oh man, I don't know, but it was probably 2 years in the running, at least. And the reason is, when I'm shooting a film, I don't have time to shave because I'm just constantly on set, and you barely have enough time to sleep and shower, much less shave. So I just let it grow, and I did like 3 or 4 films back to back that year. So it was kind of great because it worked for the character. I just had a dye it black though to match all the other black stuff.
Yeah, right. Okay, and I guess people hardly would blink at you in L.A., but you probably, I'm guessing you really stood out walking down the street in Bangkok.
Ah, absolutely. In fact,
you're not a short man either.
Yeah, also in France. In France, it was great because when I went there, you know, a month prior to scout and find things I needed in the community, they were like, it was perfect because they were like, you know, this surreal, eccentric director who looks like a vampire is asking people to be in his film and shoot in a castle, and it's a horror movie, and so it kind of worked great. The timing was great.
Okay, and another great reason to see the film, well, yours truly, I'm in it. I mean, I think I have the pivotal role.
I think you are. Yeah, you're like the third act. And the arc of all characters hinges on you, specifically.
Yes, so. Because I'm propping up the satanic altar.
That's right.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I mean, come on.
It's perfect.
No, but if people see it at near the end, I don't think I'm giving anything away. I'm you can't even see my face. This was great casting on your part, Jude.
Yeah.
I get in a movie and I've got a hood covering my face, so. You might be able to see my wrist, if you know my wrist, yeah.
That's right. Your entourage came to me, and they said, you know, Chris will come down, but he's got to be in the movie.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, but we can't see his face, absolutely. That was the deal I made. What's your age?
Excellent. No, that's great. That's great. Well, I've got a face for podcasts anyway, so there you go. But anyway, so how can people see the film?
Well, it's going to be, we're signing a deal right now, a distribution deal for North America. And then they have the option for the world, so that they should be. It should be coming out July 31st, if not July 31st, August 31st. But we'll make a bunch of announcements, and I'll give you that information. And if they go check us out online, right now there's a lot of press because we just did a big independent festival called the Hollywood Reel Independent Film Festival, and we're up for a People's Choice Award for that festival.
Okay. Good luck.
So. We're kind of making our rounds in the horror circuit now. If you type the incantation on Google or whatever, you'll see a lot of articles and some film reviews and stuff like that.
Okay, and you want to share your website, social media?
Yeah, it's social media. So on Facebook, we're The Incantation. Just look that up. You can't miss us because our poster is red and it has like a goat skull shape, so you'll see us there.
Of
course. Blue Falcon Productions also on Facebook.
Okay.
Twitter, I'm there at Jude S. Walco. I'm also at Jude S. Walco on Instagram. And then you can see our trailer on Facebook and YouTube, The Incantation. Look it up.
The Incantation. All right. Anything else, man? What's next?
What's next? I really want to make this script that I wrote that's based on The Legend of Sleepy Hollow by Washington Irving. But it's a new take. It hasn't been done. It's not like the Tim Burton one, and it's not like the schlocky Fox one. In my opinion, it has not been done before. So I'm trying to get that out there. Hopefully I can direct it as well, ideally. But that's what I'm trying to, you know, that would be my next thing, hopefully.
Okay, well, good luck. And thank you so much for your time, man. It's always great catching up with you.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Jude.
Okay. See ya. Bye.